This week on Public Address Science, the final episode of our two-part series on biofuels. I fully admit that a few years ago, I was something of a biofuel skeptic when it came to the replacement of automotive fuels in New Zealand. Since then, however, things have changed dramatically. The price of fossil fuels has risen enormously, a trend which is expected to continue, and new technology has come onto the scene which promises cheaper and less energy-intensive biofuels processing. Recently, two New Zealand Crown research institutes, Scion and AgResearch, joined forces with US enzyme manufacturer Diversa to work on automotive-type biofuels. Despite the criticisms levelled at some overseas schemes in terms of low energy yield ratio and consequently high cost, as well as concerns over long-term sustainability, the New Zealand consortium believes it has the answer to sustainable biofuels for this country. I talked to Dr. Trevor Stuthridge at Scion and began by asking him to describe the feedstock and manufacturing process for their proposed biofuel scheme.
Our starting point is to say, is it possible for New Zealand to convert one of its pulp and paper mills over to an ethanol facility? So, you know, we're looking to use wood as our feedstock, and wood's quite a complicated material. It has both the cellulose, which is what most people are using for the next generation biofuels, but also has hemicellulose, which is another type of sugar polymer, and it has lignin. The process that we're developing with Diversa is to look at ways of first physically and chemically breaking the wood down into pulp material, which is where all the glucose that we use for the ethanol production is, and also releasing the lignin, which we can recover for energy or chemical production, and also recovering the hemicelluloses, which are another source for making ethanol. So what we're doing in the first instance is physically and chemically breaking the wood down, just as they already do in the pulp and paper industry, and then we're using Diversa's unique enzyme cocktails to break the polymers, like cellulose and hemicelluloses, into their sugars. And it's these sugars that we can pass on into another process with another bacteria or a yeast that actually fermented into the ethanol. So in this way, we can take a fairly difficult-to-break-down material like wood and turn it directly into ethanol.
So last week on this program, we also talked about biofuels and looked at the energy yield ratio for corn bioethanol in the US, which is absolutely terrible, only just over one. Do you have a figure for the energy yield ratio for wood bioethanol using the Diversa process on this sort of large scale?
We're still working on that, so I probably don't have numbers at hand yet. In fact, we're going through that exercise at the very moment as part of our feasibility study. But certainly our belief is that the energy yield ratio is favourable for lignocellulosics, particularly derived from forestry resources. Management costs for the crop are rather lower, in our opinion, for forests compared to food crops like corn, and the yield per hectare can be rather higher.
Now, you've mentioned food crops, and of course, one of the criticisms of bioethanol in other countries is that it displaces food crops. Presumably this isn't a criticism that could be levelled at your scheme for biofuel manufacture?
We see this as a key advantage of what we're proposing, because much of the land that the forests are growing on are non-food quality. They're not suitable for food crops. Certainly this is a key constraint in the United States, where the price of corn has now doubled because of ethanol initiatives. In some states, up to half of the corn is being used for ethanol production. That's starting to impact things like food prices, beef prices, etc. are going up. We think by targeting a non-food crop and using essentially non-food quality land, we have a significant advantage, and certainly in New Zealand, from an international perspective, that's a key advantage for this country, in our opinion.
Okay, well, that's reassuring. But another criticism of biofuels, certainly in the US and Europe, is that it takes a huge amount of land to produce just a fraction of the country's fuel requirements. Using your proposed method, how much biofuel could actually be feasibly produced in New Zealand?
Our estimate is that a single pulp and paper mill facility could produce over 200 million litres a year, and that would be quite sufficient to take us beyond E15 in terms of fuel substitution. In reality, if we took all of the forestry crops and the trees that we're exporting overseas, it appears that even possible we could completely substitute in the long term. But of course, there would be a significant capital investment required to process that sort of material.
But wouldn't there also be a massive cost incurred in terms of lost revenue from the wood feedstock that could otherwise have been exported as timber?
That's an interesting question, and one that we're looking at the moment in our feasibility study, because whilst at times wood and pulp can be very financially positive, there are times when it's very, very non-profitable. And so you get a lot of ups and downs in that market. With ethanol, I think we believe we'll have a much steadier market. So on average, it's quite possible that ethanol production could even be better economically than current use of the forest resource.
Now, you've pointed out already that producing biofuels from New Zealand forests is no less sustainable than producing timber. But actually, how sustainable is timber production in reality? Can the land keep on just producing indefinitely?
Over the years, the forestry industry and the wood processing industry, I think, have developed very, very good management strategies for the production of the wood stock and the harvesting and the replanting of it. This is still a pretty sustainable option for New Zealand in terms of land use. We're not substituting for high-value land. I think management practices for forestry are pretty good in this country from what I can tell.
Okay. Now, I guess this is kind of the $64,000 question, but do you, at this stage, have any feel for a cost comparison to current petrol prices?
We don't have a strong feel for that yet. I think the challenge for ethanol at the moment is that in many parts of the world it's still heavily subsidised and the price is still well above petrol. The key challenge for ethanol in terms of cost of production is the enzymes, and that's why our relationship with Diversa is critical to this initiative. I guess overall our aim would be to get the cost of ethanol being equivalent to petrol. That would certainly be the goal. We don't believe, as in many other parts of the world, that asking the consumer to pay more for their fuel is likely to be particularly well taken up. I think New Zealand still has an opportunity to be a leader in this field, whether it's with pulp and paper or forestry or other crops. We're in a position geographically where being self-sufficient is probably the best option for us.
While it's perhaps quite a bit too early to declare mission accomplished on the transport energy front, the proposed New Zealand bioethanol scheme seems to overcome many of the objections that are made against overseas biofuel manufacture. Given the scope for improvement in the fuel efficiency of the New Zealand vehicle fleet, sustainable biofuels could, even in the medium term, have a dramatic impact on our energy supplies. And, even if not completely perfect, they may well be a much better option than our current dependence on fossil fuels for transportation.